talked about the Taylor Swift song getting released for Toy Story 5 today, right? How long until it's the number one song on the charts?
It's not number one yet.
I was wondering. You know how that works, right? Didn't like Drake come out with an album recently and like all 40 songs were on the top 100 like for the first time in artist history? Especially the way we stream things and listen to things. They put that into an account now. I'm wondering if it's there by the end of the day.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm surprised, honestly, and I wasn't kind of being funny about it. I'm like, I'm surprised it's not number one already with the way things go. But yeah, you're right. Probably by the end of the day, and it will be up there as that number one song. Well, the movie comes out when? Today, or is it next week?
Ooh, I don't know if it's out yet.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at the
I thought it's like June 12th or June 19th.
The movie itself?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that early.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
No, I would know more than me. That's
no,
awesome.
I would not.
oh, no, we did talk about this. That's Toy Story 1. Come on. Toy Story 5 release date. June 19th.
June 19th.
There you go.
Right.
Two weeks.
I guess I was right. 2 weeks, yeah.
I'm excited. That may be one I go see day of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that movie, man. Yeah.
It's a wait until it's on the on the max for me.
It'll be on the box.
I'll see that in theaters.
Yeah,
I want to see that in theaters.
That's fine. Yeah.
I'll take the kids to go see that.
Oh, that's a good one.
We should do that. Yeah.
Somebody says, walk me off the ledge. Buy Game 4 Knicks tickets only to flip them for profit.
Yeah. No, do it. How much are Game 4 tickets going for? I bet you it's a lot less, right, than Game 3 because everybody wants to be there for the first one for all that pomp and circumstance. But
if you think Spurs are winning tonight, you should do that.
You should buy Game 4 because now all of a sudden Game 4 becomes the clincher for you.
Huge deal.
And then you want to sell them before Game 3 happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you got to hit it right.
So you got to buy them today, hope they win tonight, and then sell them tomorrow, and then you're golden, right? All those things have to happen. But it depends on what they are. Like if they're under 1,000, then obviously I would say, probably buy them, use that as a hedge. I'd buy them and something would happen. I'd never be able to sell them, right?
Guys, I'm going to New York.
Yeah, but I'm telling that guy right there on the text line, I think that's probably a pretty good idea, depending on, again, what they're going for. If they're going for $4,200, then I would hit the brakes on that because I don't know that you're going to make much money at that rate. But if you can find them for under $1,000 right now for Game 4, hell yeah.
All right, guys, let's have a little business chat here. I know Cody and Alex kind of hit on this because this article came out right as our show ended from Jeff Passan of ESPN, and it is with the trade deadline nearing, you're always going to have stuff like this, right? Like, Reed Detmers is a starting pitcher for the Los Angeles Angels. That's probably going to be somewhere else because he's their best player available. He writes about the Royals, best player available, Michael Wacha, as a player to trade.
Yeah.
Right? He says the Royals can't totally tear things down, not with Bobby and Garcia locked up long term, but the magic they found in 24 has dissipated into a puddle of meh. The deadline is an opportunity to turn the team over and
a puddle of what?
Meh.
M-E-H.
Yeah. And figure out how to replicate 24 when Kansas City went from 56 to 86 wins. Most of their top prospects are at the lower level, so focusing on near major league ready talent, ones who will be there when the Royals move into their new stadium in 2030 or 31 makes sense. And the list of desirable veterans is plentiful. Wacha has been tremendous and is under control for two more seasons. Mm-hmm. Same with Seth Lugo. Chris Bubich could be the best deal of the bunch and the least costly. Kansas City should listen on Cole Reagans, even Vinny Pasquantino and Daniel Lynch IV. Mm-hmm. 2 years from free agency could be options.
Yeah, they should be listening on every single player on their team at this point in time. You're not winning baseball games and you can't run this back next year either, right? Imagine if they tried to run it back with everything in place. I don't think the fans would be very happy about that, right? So you've got to find ways to turn over your roster and get better. And when you're in a season that's like this and you don't have, a postseason hope at this point in time, you've got to figure out ways to make yourself better going forward. And so you take a losing season and you find ways to turn that into a positive moving forward. And that could be moving some of the guys on the roster. Don't look now. Vinny Pasquantino to the Yankees, to me now, makes a lot of sense with the Aaron Judge injury. All of a sudden now they're missing a bat in their lineup. Vinny's swing with that right field porch at Yankee Stadium, that makes a lot of sense. And if they're looking to upgrade their lineup, which they are, Vinny Pasquantino may be a sweet swing for Yankee Stadium. That's one that I could potentially see, you know, happening. We saw him there and we were talking about it when we were sitting there at the game back in April, like, man, Vinny would be perfect for this ballpark.
Yeah, so
right?
He could be a potential 40 home run guy.
Yeah, exactly. And so that would be one that if I'm the Yankees, I would come calling about Vinny Pasquantino at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And if you're the Royals, you have to be able to move and turn over your roster because it's not working right now. And you can't bring this back next season and expect fans to just go, oh, okay, we'll go back next season with that same roster. So you need to start turning over these pieces. Waka being signed for another year after this year as well is so good. You can get so much back in return for Michael Waka and Chris Bubich too. I mean, that guy's going to be a hot name, I would imagine, you know, coming down the trade deadline and giving somebody the opportunity to have him as a starter being infused right before the postseason run comes.
Yeah, and you look at the reasons behind it, because we know who plays right field, and that's Jack Caglione. He's really found himself out in right field.
Yeah,
right? The arm has always been there. He's really kind of got a feel for that area. Shout out to Rusty Koontz for kind of, again, developing another outfielder like Alex Gordon as well.
And that's your MVP right there.
Could be. And we know the relationship he has with Vinny. They're boys. Mm-hmm. They do the little, like, you know, the thirst look in the dugout before they go out into the field. But you have Vinny's replacement. And he is the 22-year-old kid that plays right field. Mm-hmm. And then I thought Drew Nixon made a good point about this yesterday as I was driving home listening, like what that would do possibly for Cags. Because one thing that a lot of people have been up and down about is that, you know, he doesn't play enough or he's not doing this. And then we got reports from Vernon's, from others, that maybe there's been kind of a temper problem of failure. And like, it's, hey, you can't do that, or you're not, it can't put you out there when you look like this, when you're, you know, acting a fool, maybe in the dugout or throwing your bat down on a fly out, all that sort of stuff. But if you put him at first and you let him know, like, hey, you're here, you're going to hit this every single day, what that could do for Cags mentally. And that was Drew's take, which I thought was a very good take.
Yep.
I also look at it from the Waka standpoint. He is not a part of your future.
No, he's not.
Like, he's not. He's doing very good this year, and he's been a very good staple for your rotation this year. But that's a guy that maybe you get somebody that's in double A, triple A, that's not really ready yet, but maybe in a year or two when you're getting those guys that are in low A, single A, up to the mid-major, the minor leagues, then those guys are getting developed and playing. And you got to develop these guys as well. But, you know, I personally agree with, like, you don't need to tear it all down. You can keep Garcia, keep Bobby, keep that left side of the infield. Don't need to get rid of those guys. But even a guy like, if Kyle Isbell is a piece for somebody.
Absolutely.
Like, he could go play center field as a defensive replacement, come in the ninth, lay down a bunt, and do things on the base path. Seth Lugo,
he'd be a
guy.
Great postseason baseball player in that standpoint.
He screams to me like a Boston Red Sox guy.
He does.
Kind of like that gritty, tough, you know, football player in the past, can go play center field. You know how the dimensions are out there in Fenway.
Yep.
And you look at guys like that. And Vinny's interesting to me because you'd look at Vinny this year and say, well, what value do we get from Vinny Pasquantino? Well, depending, like you said, dimension of your ballpark, left-handed swinger, first baseman.
Need.
You never know, right? You know,
the Yankees have a need, so when you have a need, you tend to offer more.
And we know his ties with New York as well,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, big Jet fan, yeah.
And so, you know, you look at teams like, let's say the Braves and Matt Olson takes an injury.
Right.
They're going for the World Series.
Right.
Like, they are going to make moves that do what the Royals did with Ben Zobrist. Like, did the Royals need Ben Zobrist for a long time? No, they needed him for that
run. For that moment,
and
though.
And it worked, and you went all in, and you won. So you do have a replacement for Vinny. I don't know if Vinny is going to be traded. I don't know if that's the case, but he is going to be a name that might surface. And the good thing about that is you do have a backup plan. You have Jack Caglione in right field, which would play his natural position, which is first base. And then you can go from there. You went out and got Isaac Collins and Lane Thomas. Those guys would obviously play more if you got rid of some players on this roster. But I am with that theory of, like, it doesn't need to be taken down. It doesn't need to be Royal Rays, right? Start over from, build back up.
Right.
It needs to be tinkered with, and you need to get things that can get you over this hump of a little bit of this staleness that we've seen this year. Again, 25-38, they win last night. They've won 3 of 4. They won the series in Cincinnati. They go game 2 tonight against the Twins. But this is going to be the conversation, and this is one thing that I always try to warn people about the trade deadline, is there's going to be names that you are very well attached to that you might like that might not be here when you wake up on August 2nd.
And with the record the way it is, who cares? I mean, that's where we are right now. We can't continue to value players when a team isn't winning. I mean, I go back to this all the time. You know, people were mad when I said trade Travis Kelce. They were talking about it. They were listening. They listen on everything. And then they traded Tyreek Hill and won two more Super Bowls and went to three in a row. One player does not, you know, make the difference when you have that infrastructure in place and you can move on certain guys. And I think it would be very bad if the Royals don't make some trades as we get closer to the trade deadline, because you do have to turn over this roster right now. We're watching a product that isn't living up to what everybody thought it was going to live up to. And when the product doesn't live up to that, change is necessary and change needs to be made. And I think right now, by moving some players on this roster and getting some younger guys in here that could potentially be part of your future, that's what you have to do. And that's how you take a negative season and you potentially turn it in to a positive season, is by making those moves. But you can't be afraid to make those moves because of the name on the back of the jersey, because it really doesn't matter. We're here to watch the Royals win. We're here to watch the Chiefs win. I'm not here to necessarily watch individual players on teams that aren't producing team success. That's not a lot of fun.
I do find this kind of interesting. I don't know if I 100% agree with it, but there is a little bit of an interesting note in it. Watch Jack Caglione hit for more power if he isn't running around in the outfield. Well, so
there may be something to that. Yeah. Energy that's being spent out there, maybe possibly. A little bit, possibly. Yeah. You know, you can factor in anything. I don't mind somebody taking a stab at something like that.
Mac, this is kind of funny that you'll like Bob. It's hilarious. There's a what is it? Kalshi. A Kalshi trader has put $1,577 on Michael Penix Jr. to not win the NFL MVP this season. If they're correct, they'll win $1,593 for a profit of $16.
Hey,
I got a feeling you're going to win $16.
It's a hell of a return.
It's a profit.
It's a profit. It's a profit. Yeah. But you got to wait 8 months to get your $16. So it's probably not worth it.
No kidding.
That's funny.
AJ Brown. Well, there's a little bit of a leak here.
It was done purposely to give us a push. I know if I say something in the media, I know it's going to propel us to work on it. If you say what you need to say in the media, which I won't do that anymore, it gives everything legs and legs to push and to push everybody to be better. Because pressure isn't always a bad thing. It can also be a good thing, too. Honestly, I feel like it was okay to do because we had guys in the locker room.
So Patriots wide receiver A.J. Brown admitted to leaking stories about the Eagles to the media to motivate the team. It was done purposely to give us a push. It gives everything legs to push everyone to be better. I feel like it was okay to do. That's the audio that was kind of muggy to hear, but that's what he said in this interview. That's tough.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine dealing with that?
I mean, I don't know if I want that guy in my locker room.
I don't want that guy anywhere near my team.
I mean, the Chiefs PR team is great at keeping things locked like a pickle.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we know that.
Oh, yeah.
In the city, and that's why they are. I mean, you look at Tyreek Hill in Kansas City versus Tyreek Hill in Miami.
Completely different.
I mean, it was that quick.
Right.
You saw like, oh.
Yeah, here are the rules that we follow here. Here are the rules they don't follow there. Right?
And I've got, you know, people that have told me that the New Heights podcast wouldn't happen if it wasn't with Jason Kelce.
Absolutely.
There's
yeah.
no chance Travis is doing that on his own. But since Jason's there and Andy knows Jason and they're pretty much a son of his.
Right, yeah.
He's like, all right, but here's what we're going to have to, and they were winning Super Bowl.
Yeah, so and they were winning it. And so, all that kind of stuff. And it's Travis. You know he was going to be there. He wasn't going to let this deter, but this A.J. Brown
but
thing,
dude,
man,
you're,
my God.
You personally are fitting the narrative for what the media says so they can motivate the team with, like, maybe fake stories or not truth behind things or fabricating the way things are being dealt with. Like, that to me is not the sort of vibe or aura that you want within your locker room, which is already tense in the football season.
No doubt. It really is tense. Everybody's on edge all the time because everybody's job's on the line every week. Every player, you could be cut tomorrow. You don't know. There's no value. Coaches could be fired, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there really is no loyalty in the NFL. But there's a couple of things to touch on from him that I took notes on. First of all, I'm over the people in sports saying they don't pay attention to the media. We've seen a lot of instances this week where people in sports are reacting to what has been put out there in the media. This is just the next one. So if athletes don't believe in the media and they don't pay attention to the media, why is A.J. Brown leaking it to the media? There's still a very powerful voice that we have doing these jobs. People hear what we have to say, read if it's a newspaper. Lots of people consume our stuff, and what we say does carry weight. And so A.J. Brown knows that. So he got the number of a reporter, talk to him. And if you're a reporter, you're absolutely 1,000,000% doing this with A.J. Brown. Yeah, if you want to give me all this stuff, I have no problem with that. That's awesome. Let's go. And then he talked about he won't do it anymore. How do we know he's not going to do it anymore? Just because he's in New England now and he acts like it's, you know, Mecca and he's with a coach that he likes, what if things do go south in New England? Because we have seen a guy who kind of didn't get his way, didn't get the numbers that he wanted, but was still on a winning team.
Won a ring.
Won a championship and was still complaining. So I look at a guy like that and I go, boy, you say you're never going to do this again, but your track record of success, and you were still doing that in Philadelphia. What makes me believe that you're not going to do this here in New England?
It shows me that he was never, I mean, even a Super Bowl couldn't please this
man.
And to me, it was more so like, the one thing I hate the most is sabotagers.
Yeah, and he's one of them.
And that's what this kind of gives me that vibe, is that he's going to media members and giving them stuff to write about, because two things can be true. One, he can be sabotaging stuff. The other thing is that he could be, you know, trying to start something where he knows his team is reading certain people's stuff
right,
or watching certain people's things. So, like, A.J. Brown doing this is, to me, a tough look.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, hey, what, you know, I'm going to talk to this guy and tell him this about Jalen Hurts. And I know Jalen Hurts is going to go over here and read it because he always tells me he reads this guy's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to be like, well, where's he getting this information? Like, that's not true. And it's like, he's in the back going, I'm just going to watch it burn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't want that guy, or that guy's a detriment. No matter how good a player you are, man, you can't cannibalize yourself from the inside. Any organization that has somebody like an A.J. Brown that's cannibalizing you from the inside, you got to get rid of that person. And now we know why the Eagles were like, yeah, we're getting rid of this guy, because of what he's doing to that organization. And it's so hard to win in the NFL. You've got to have everybody on the same page. And the fact that he was doing it says a lot about his character and who he is. And if you had problems with guys, you're an alpha male. Go have that conversation with those people inside the locker room and be a man about it instead of leaking it to the media.
Mac, you hate this from A.J. Brown?
Yeah, it sucks because I think him as a football player, there's a lot of things to defend, and I did defend it. And then he comes out and does this. And
both
it's like,
can be true, though.
Exactly. Yeah, both can coexist. But this kind of deters a lot of what I would have said about him before. And it's like, yeah, that sucks. That sucks. He pretty much only wants to play for Mike Vrabel, it seems. Doesn't matter if it's a good situation or bad situation. He just wants Vrabel.
Because he wasn't like this in Tennessee?
No.
No, you didn't hear much about him.
No, not at all.
Of course, it's Tennessee. It's not Philadelphia.
No, but it wasn't that way. Again, Mike Vrabel was there.
Yeah,
so he was
that's
happy. He was pleased. He was getting the ball, but not like they were winning games that whole time.
Right. They weren't going to Super Bowls. They weren't winning the division. They weren't having the success, you know, that he had in Philadelphia, obviously.
And it's a really good point from the text line from the 816. It's also like insider trading.
It is. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, a little bit.
Very
yeah.
much so.
Yeah. I mean,
you just get a text that says, AJ, hey, you want to know something about Sirianni and Big Dom?
Well,
three
yeah.
dots are coming up immediately on his
of course,
phone.
Yeah.
Like, yes, please.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a tough look. What's not a tough look is the Kansas City Mavericks go for the Kelly Cup starting tonight.
Here we go.
Their fan base deserves this. Straight up. And I think, you know, it deserves to be talked about. Like, those people are loyal. I don't know if you've ever been to a Mavericks game. I've been to two, which bad job on my part. But every time I go, it's packed. It's loud. It's passionate, and I always bring up the fact that I used to work at Red Robin, and when it was Mavericks night, we knew. 5:30, those doors were slammed, and they were always slammed on a Monday night because kids eat free from 5 to 8 from, you know, ages 10 and under. And so, but when Mavericks night came in, it was always fans wearing their gear, always ready to go, telling you everything about, you know, the opposing team.
Who are they playing in this cup final? Do we know?
Never heard of it.
Sioux Falls or Arlington or something like that.
Yeah, let me look it up.
Quad City Mallards.
Is it Quad City Mallards? That'd be cool.
They're playing Florida Everblades.
Oh.
That's kind of a cool hockey name.
Everblades? Really cool. That is cool. Yeah. That is really cool, actually.
So we talk about how the Knicks fans, you know, really are embracing this team and won a championship. To me, like, minor league hockey in that Independence location is something that you don't really know about unless you've either seen it or experienced or have a friend that is part of it. And the cowbells go off and all these other things happen. But the loyalness and the passionate type of fan that the Mavericks are, because I can be honest with you with our text line, I don't know if it's the same person, but it's like one word. I hope there's something about our local hockey team going for a, you know, a series win to get to the finals. And then they win and they go to the finals. They play tonight. It's game one. I think this is one of those sports stories where the fans are the stories. I know the team's doing it and they're good and they're getting there, but man, Mavericks fans show up, they show out, and they're passionate. And I'm rooting for them. I'm going to keep my eye to it. And go beat the Florida Everblades.
I love that name, the Florida Everblades. That is such a great name.
Yeah, got a cool logo, too.
Do they?
Yeah, it's like a gator looking menacing coming out of there.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you take advantage of what you have, right, from a name recognition standpoint. The Florida Everblades. I love it.
First two games in Kansas City tonight and tomorrow.
No graduations to get in the way of this one.
7:05 p.m. is when the puck drops tonight in the Cable Dahmer Arena, and then 6:05 Saturday night in Kansas City. Then they go Wednesday game three in Florida. That game will be at 6:30 Central Time for you locals that want to check that out. So go Mavs! Ring the cowbell! Bring all the cowbell you can. Coming up on the other side, a wife's approval is a must in life. 96.5 The Fan, you're over Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City Sports. 96.5 The Fan.